Hallo und herzlich willkommen zum Message-Podcast der LifePoint Church Stuttgart. Als Gemeinde leben wir nach der Vision, wir existieren, dass Menschen ein erfülltes Leben in Christus finden können. Wir hoffen, dass Gott durch diese Message zu dir spricht und dass du dadurch gesegnet wirst.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so. So, back to the roots. Last episode was quite interesting to see and hear how God led all this, led us through the Bible during this last month. So first week we heard from Robin, God created the world with order and purpose, desiring a relationship with humanity. So through Genesis we saw how God worked his creation. However, with the fall, sin corrupted creation. So we saw Adam and Eve, they fall in sin. And there was this separation between God and man. So Adam and Eve, they were kicked out from the Eden. So started a very bad season for humankind. But despite of this, God never abandoned his work. God made a step towards the fall of his creation. God had no plan B, it was always plan A. So just be clear about it. And after that, we have Noah. He demonstrated both his judgment and his grace through Noah. So we saw through the ark, God wants to rescue mankind, what was so corrupted. But at the same time, he didn't destroy all humankind. He saved a part, Noah and his family, to build up again. And he offers salvation through the ark. So this was a first image of the future redemption in Christ. Then we went through week two. And God, we saw through Nath, when he preached, God chose Abraham to establish a people through whom who would bring blessing to all humanity. He delivered Israel from slavery in Egypt with Moses and led them to the promised land with Joshua, demonstrating again his faithfulness and power. But true liberation was not just physical. Humanity needed a greater salvation, which only Jesus would bring. And this introduced again us through the figure of Jesus Christ, through the person of Jesus Christ. And then we went last week when Chrissy preached. Israel asked for a king. Also, if they had already a king, it was God. But they wanted a human king. But no human king could perfectly lead the people, that people that wants to lead. Even David, a man after God's own heart, failed. So Israel history was marked by ups and downs, but the need for a perfect king remained. And only Jesus, we saw again, the King of Kings, would bring true guidance, protection, and blessing to his people. So we saw that despite of all human efforts, they still need a savior. They still need an ultimate king. And we saw this through the Old Testament, that this king they were looking for was Jesus Christ. It was already predicted, was already prophesied in the Old Testament. And we are this last week. So imagine for a moment a powerful king, blessed by God, with wealth, wisdom, and prosperity. Now imagine that this very king, despite everything he has received, begins to drift away, taking path that leads him further from his creator. Slowly but surely, he drags also an entire nation with him, leading them towards decline. And this is not just a story from the past. It is the story of Israel. It is the story of kings who were called by God, but just to follow their own desires. It is the story of people who, instead of walking the light, prefer darkness. It is the story of division, exile, unheard prophets, and seemingly broken promises. Yet, in the midst of this huge chaos, there is a red thread woven through the every prayer, every page of the scripture. A thread that never breaks. God never abandoned his people. And that is a truth that we can read through all the Bible, from the beginning, from Genesis till Revelation. God never abandoned his people. Even in the darkest moments, he always had a plan. He always preparing a way. And that way led to a promise that will change everything. The coming of the Messiah, the Savior, who will restore not only Israel, but all humanity. Today we step into this story, not just to learn it, but to recognize that we are part of it. What is your response to God's call? Are we faithful? Or are we taking paths that lead us away from him? So let us prepare to discover a God who warns but never abandons. A God who corrects but also redeems. A God who made a promise and kept it. So first slide. Okay. Back. Okay. So we see David. So David was, as we say, a man after God's own heart, chosen by him to be king over Israel. So remember, God, a man after God's heart, own heart. It means was very close to God, right? Was a man that was chosen by God, was a man that so close to God, you know? It's like could be our spouse, our closest friends, the person we feel close the most. He ruled with faithfulness and sought to honor God. Yet he was not without sin. One of his greatest failures occurred when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah, one of his loyal soldiers. What he did? In order to cover his own sin, he sent Uriah on the front line to fight against his David's enemy. And the purpose was not because he wants him to be a kind of in command. The purpose for David, from David, was that he will die in that battle. And don't miss what I want to say. It's not just David's fault. This is a human heart fault. If David was the man after God's own heart, he was so evil. Imagine how evil is humankind. He was chosen by God. Don't forget this. To cover up his wrongdoing, so he arranged this for Uriah to be placed on the front line of battle, ensuring his death. So he tried to hide his sin. God saw everything and sent the prophet Nathan to confront him. We saw through the Bible, through the book of 2 Samuel, how Nathan confronted David. If you go to read, David was upset from the story Nathan used as a portray what David did. He was enraged. But at the end, Nathan said, "That sees you. The story I'm telling to you is about you, what you did." Sorry. And This led David to repent. He recognized his own sin. He repented before God. Although God forgave David, the consequence of his sin remained. His household faced turmoil, including rebellion from his own son, Absalom, and violence among his children. If you read the story of David, it's better than Turkish drama. In Italy, it's so popular, for example, now, my mom is so passionate about it. And I was reading, I say, wow, that is way better. It's sad, but it's true what's happened. But God has planned. Second slide, please. Your household and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. God's promise never fails. God already had a plan despite of all. David was very bad at the time. But God's promises never changed. Because when God promised something, he keep it. He doesn't change. And that's give us peace, that's give us freedom. That's give us, give us assurance that we can rely always on God. Despite David's moral failure, God remained faithful to his covenant. He had the promise that David's household and kingdom would endure forever, establishing his throne eternally. This promise was not merely about David's immediate descendants, but pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ, the true and the everlasting King, who was born from David's lineage, as we read also in the Gospel of Matthew. Through Jesus, God's promise was fully realized, demonstrating his grace and faithfulness despite human failure. We can see through the Bible how God already promised a Savior. Also, if the man, in this case David, was imperfect, king, was sinned before God, but God's promise for a Savior was always there. But of course, the consequence of sin stay, as we saw. Next slide. Solomon. More? Bit more? Back? Okay. Solomon, the wisest king of his age and the time. Solomon began his reign with great devotion to God. He humbly asked for wisdom rather than wealth or power, and God granted him extraordinary wisdom, making him the wisest king of his time. He also built a magnificent temple in Jerusalem, fulfilling his father's desire to establish a permanent dwelling place of God's presence. So Solomon accomplished what was in David's heart, to build up a temple for God. However, as Solomon grew older, his heart turned away from the Lord. So imagine to have the wisest counselor who make the wisest choice for your country, and you have wealthiness in your country, you have peace, and suddenly this person, this prime minister, suddenly change. He turned from God to worship idols. And this is what did Solomon. He took many foreign wives, 700 wives, and 300 concubines. And all these women led him also astray. He started to worship the Balaam, and also the Baal, and also the idols, like Chemosh, Milcom, Ashtoreth, and build up high places and altars for them. This unfaithfulness angered God, who had appeared to Solomon twice and warned him to remain obedient. He appeared to him twice, not once, twice. Look how God's grace was extended to Solomon to warn him not once, but twice. As a result of Solomon's disobedience, God declared that the kingdom of Israel would be turned apart after his death. So it was disaster again. The wisest man made a disaster. Next slide. Even so, I will not take away the entire kingdom. I will let him be king of one tribe for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, my chosen city. However, what did Solomon? God's faithfulness to his covenant was never changed. He preserved one tribe under the rule of Solomon's descendants for the sake of David and Jerusalem. The city he had chosen, Jerusalem is the city God chosen. Even judgment, God remained faithful to his promises, showing his enduring grace and commitment to his people. Can you see how God promised stay, never change? Next was division. So we see that the kingdom was splitted in two parts. 10 tribes with one left. After the division of Israel, Jeroboam became the first king of the northern kingdom. Instead of leading the people in faithfulness to God, he feared that they would return to Jerusalem to worship at the temple and ultimately pledge their loyalty to the house of David. Again, we see that the fear of man who wants to be worshipped, who wants to be honored instead of God. To prevent this, he devised his own system of worship, making 2 golden calves and placing them in Bethel and Dan. He proclaimed to the people that these were the gods who had brought them out of Egypt, leading them into idolatry. Do you remember what happened when Moses was leading the people through the desert? When he went up on the mountain to receive the commands from God, what the people did? They built up an idol. Look, this is your God to deliver you from Egypt. And Jeroboam does the same. Because of this great sin, God sent the prophet Ahijah to warn Jeroboam of his coming judgment. Ahijah declared that Jeroboam's dynasty will be cut off and destroyed because of his disobedience and idolatry. Despite this warning, Jeroboam continued to in his rebellion, sealing his fate. His action set a pattern of unfaithfulness that many of Israel's future kings would follow. We saw after that other kings in Jerusalem, they follow his path. Yet, even in judgment, God's faithfulness remained. Though Jeroboam's dynasty would be destroyed, God's ultimate plan for salvation through the line of David remained unchanged. This shows that human failures cannot overturn God's divine purposes. We see in this season that we are right now, today is election day. We feel afraid, we feel scared what can happen. But this we need to remind ourselves that human failure, human plot cannot overturn God's divine purposes. Next. Quote. Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, he inherited the throne of Israel, but his arrogance and unwillingness to listen to wise counsel led to a national crisis. When the people led by Jeroboam asked him to reduce the heavy taxes and forced labor imposed by Solomon, Rehoboam rejected their plea. Instead, he follows the advice of his young advisors, threatening to increase their burdens even more. As a result, the 10 northern tribes rebelled, rejecting Rehoboam as king and making Jeroboam their ruler. This division led to the formation of two separate kingdoms, Israel in the northern and Judah in the south. Only the tribe of Judah and Benjamin remained under Rehoboam's rule. Beyond his political failure, Rehoboam also led Judah into spiritual decline. He allowed idolatry and pagan practices to spread throughout the kingdom, doing evil in the sight of the Lord. But again, God's promise stayed there. Next slide, please. But for the sake of my servant David and the city of Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, he will have one tribe, which I have chosen. God's plan never changed. When he make a promise, this promise stays. Despite the Rehoboam's unfaithfulness, God remained faithful to his covenant with David. As he had promised, he preserved the remnant of the kingdom for the sake of his servant David and the city of Jerusalem. This shows again that even when human leaders fail, God's sovereign plan remains unshaken and his faithfulness endures. God's never change. And I will keep repeating, God never change. It was quite exciting to me to read through the Old Testament and see how God's promise is still the same. You see the evil in human's heart, but the faithfulness of God despite of all. Of course, there were consequences for the sin of man, but there was the promise of God still the same. Next slide. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God's faithfulness, God's grace is always there. Always God's grace. God extend his grace to his people. If you step towards me, I will show you grace. If you repent, I will show you grace. If you bow down, if you recognize your sin, I will show you grace and forgiveness. That is God's promise. But God wants our heart to step towards him. Next slide, please. Back. Okay, thank you. So at this point, we have the division of Israel and the rise of idolatry and the prophets that call to repentance. As Israel drifted further into idolatry, the people repeatedly turned away from God to worship false gods such as Baal. This spiritual unfaithfulness led to moral corruption and divine judgment. One of the most dramatic confrontation between God's prophets and Israel idolatry occurred during the time of Elijah. If you look through the book of 1 Kings, there was this king of Israel, Ahab, who married a woman who was definitely not fearing God, Jezebel. She worshipped the Baal and led astray also her husband. And Jezebel tried to kill all the prophets who were in Israel. So there was the prophecy from God were not freely preached. But there was one prophet left who confronted Ahab, Elijah, and say, look, what you are doing is completely wrong. You are worshiping the Baal. And that is wrong. And the response from Ahab, the king of Israel, instead to repent, he wants to kill him. He didn't want to hear. He didn't want to admit his faith, his fault. What's happened after that? On Mount Carmel, Elijah challenged the people, urging them to make a decisive choice. Elijah went before the people and said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. But the people say nothing. It's very sad. They know they were the people of Israel, right? The chosen people, they know. They knew it. But they were so, what can I do? They cannot make a decision. Can you see how human heart is so deceitful? Easily forget what God did in the past. We easily forget what God did in our life. And when is the moment God confronts us, also through other people, we cannot make the right decision. We have in our DNA kind of Alzheimer about faith. This silence reflects Israel's spiritual indecision and their willingness to fully commit to the Lord. It's not just for the people of Israel. It's also for nowadays. But again, God show his grace. Next slide, please. Come now, let us settle matters, said the Lord. Your sin are like scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. If you repent, I will cancel all your sin. Wow. Can you imagine? You are in the car. You commit a huge crime. You murder somebody or you did something very bad. And the judge say, look, I know you did all this. But if you come before me, you repent, I will cancel everything. Your police record will be completely clean. Can you imagine? Can you imagine for a while that you are speechless, right? How can be happen? But this is what God wants to do. If we really repent before him, he's able to do it. Despite their rebellion, God continued to call his people back to himself through the prophets. Isaiah, the next one, conveyed God's message of mercy and redemption, reminding the people that though their sins were great, forgiveness was still possible. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Through the prophets, God not only warned of judgment, but also extended his grace, showing that his ultimate desire was not to not destruction, but repentance and restoration. Through the prophets, God repeatedly warned Israel about their sin, but also gave hope of restoration. This restoration that will be fulfilled with the coming of the Messiah. Next slide, please. Jesus Christ is the final answer to Israel's unfaithfulness. Unlike the king of Israel who failed, Jesus is the perfect righteous king who brings true salvation. That is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only way. Jesus Christ is the only way where we can find restoration, freedom, peace, hope. We saw in the Bible what happened through the kings, through the rulers of this world. And we see nowadays, rulers, kings, presidents, prime minister, they promise us peace. They promise us prosperity. But never happened. You can find the wisest man who can do this for a while, but at the end, this will not endure. We cannot trust in human heart. Our heart is deceitful. Our heart is evil. We cannot trust in a man. Next slide. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor, David, for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen. A child will be born, and his government will have no end. Jesus, the promised king from David's lineage. That is what the Bible keeps reminding us. We needed a savior. The world still needs a savior. They need to recognize the only one who can make way, the only one who can rule is Jesus. The only one who can rule and needs to rule in our hearts is Jesus. Despite Israel's constant rebellion, God remained faithful to his promises. His plan was never just about earthly king, but about preparing the way for Jesus, the true king who would bring eternal salvation. The story of Israel kings teach us that human leaders fail, but God's mercy and his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ remain unshakable. Despite Israel's unfaithfulness, division, exile, and sin, God has never ceased to love his people. That is the truth. Despite of our failures, God never ceased to love us. God has never, through the prophets, he has announced both judgment and grace, culminating in the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, who offered redemption not only to Israel, but to the whole world. Next slide. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The story of Israel is a demonstration of God's faithfulness and his perfect plan of salvation for mankind. We used in this past 3 weeks this thread, right? So we start from the fall, and we went through all the journey. And we are arriving to the end where we see that the mankind needed a savior. And this savior was Jesus Christ, who made us to have again peace with God and close the circle. Man goes straight, you know, there is never ending. If there is no reconciliation with God, there is never ending. There is a journey that will never satisfy our hearts, will never give us peace. We're looking for peace, but we cannot have peace without Jesus. But Jesus made us the first step. For God so loved the world that he gave his only and begotten Son. For whoever believes him will not perish but have eternal life. We look for this world so many times, just for this world. And we have a short mind instead we look for eternal life. We're looking for a kingdom in this world when the kingdom is already prepared, is in heaven. The peace we are looking for is already set before us. Jesus closed the circle. He made possible through his plan, God, his plan of salvation, make possible to reconcile mankind with him. And the Bible reminded us that the faithfulness from God never end. Next slide, please. Action points. Next. Recognize your spiritual condition. Examine your heart daily and ask yourself, am I following God with all my heart? Be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. In Lamentation says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Test. You know what does mean test? In Germany, yeah, there are a lot of tests about everything. You go to the supermarket, you see on the label, test, test, test. And that is good. Give you a kind of assurance that it's proved, right? When something is tested, it's safe. And we need to test our hearts. We need to be honest with ourselves. We don't need to take our hearts for granted. We saw through the Bible, humankind fails. We are not perfect. We need always to go to God. Second point. Listen to God's words and obey. Set aside at least 15 minutes a day to read the Bible and grow in the knowledge of God. Not so long. If you can do more, great. 15 minutes is very short time. It's time for breakfast. Joshua 1:8. Meditate on this book of the law day and night. It's not just 15 minutes here. Day and night. Next. Repent and return to God. Identify and confess the sins that separate you from God. Then ask him for the strength to change. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And I apply first to myself. You know, sometimes it's hard to confess our sins because we have pride inside, we are afraid. We are afraid to leave behind something we feel attached. That is our idols in somehow. Could be our fear, could be something we want to control, could be something we like. But we need to, every day, to identify and confess the sins are separating us from God. Next. Remain faithful to God despite difficulties. In moments of trials, entrust every worry to God in prayer instead of acting out of fear. Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. That is the promise of God, for I am with you. I know I will be with you, or I was with you. I am with you. It's present time. Next, okay. Trust God's promise promises and the Messiah. When facing uncertainties, remember that God has a perfect plan for your life, for my life. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. And that is important to remember. God wants us to have a fruitful life, to have a happy life, not to harm us. Also, if apparently at the beginning look like in this way, he can take away from us something in order to make space for something better. Last point, share the message of gospel. Tell at least one person about Jesus this week and pray for their salvation. Go and make disciples of all nations, say in Matthew 28. The story of Old Testament is our story. It's not the story of people who passed away, people are living in the Middle East, people are were in slavery. It's our story. It's the story of humankind, mankind. It's the story of, it's the same for us. We live in a very messy world. Change the season, but stay always the same. We can see war, we can see division, we can see slavery in some degrees. The people never change. Human heart never change. But also God's promises never change. We know the beginning, but we know also the end. Because we know who God is. If we believe in God, if we believe in Him, we need to trust in His promises. We need to step in towards His promises. So this series was not just to have a kind of knowledge about what the Bible says, but was a reminder of who God is. He's the God who promise, the God who never fails in His love, in His faithfulness, the God who promised a Savior and gave us a Savior, the God who is always ready to show grace, to show mercy, to show forgiveness to the people who come to Him with a humble heart and say, God, forgive me. This is a message for us. Is the story of the failures, the story of people who failed, people who made very bad choices, and is a reminder for us to run not in the same direction, but to run to God, to run in the opposite direction. We have this precious book which is a guideline for us. Will give us warning, but to remind us also who we are in our hearts. Makes us humble, it makes us look, God say, look at me. We sang the song. We need to look Jesus. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus, because this is the only way. It's the only way where we can have peace. And we don't need to be afraid to proclaim this truth. It's not just a personal faith. It's not just something private. It's something that needs to be proclaimed. I hope this Back to the Roots series can be a reminder for us to walk in the right way and to have a grateful heart toward God. Because we have a great God. We have a God who fights for us, who go before us. And let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Father, we want to thank you for who you are. Father, we want to thank you because you are the one who, when you make a promise, keep it. And thank you, Father, above all, for Jesus Christ. the Savior you promised, and the Savior you gave us, the Savior who delivered us, really, from eternal separation from you. The Savior who is the ultimate King, who we were looking for, and who are many of us still looking for, Father. Forgive us, Father, for all our sins. Help us, Father, to walk in your way, and to worship you, to be grateful to you, to be committed to you. Pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow, was für eine Message. Wir hoffen, dass dieses Wort zu dir gesprochen hat und dich durch den Tag und die kommende Woche begleiten wird. Wenn du mit uns in Kontakt treten möchtest, kannst du gerne auf unsere Website und Social Media vorbeischauen. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Sei gesegnet.